اهلا وسهلا مرحبا.
مركز صحابه اون لاين راديو امباورينج ذا يمه.
ويلكم يا ابو صفا.
ويلكم عمد بارك. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. And tell me, how you doing this beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad?
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا to all our radio listeners. الحمد لله, Allah has blessed us with another beautiful Sunday morning. And I see my good friend Lachi there has now joined Marcus and assisting Marcus. I said you must be like Shafat Ahmad Khan with more than one cap he wears. He's like me. We've been 16 different organizations, but alhamdulillah that Allah has blessed us to do the work of being.
You know, Ahmad, I give you full marks there. You can be 20 different organizations or 100, but as long as the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there. And you know, look at Lucky. I mean, he's with the, as you said, Islamic platforms, and you know, they really excel, and the, you know, the respect they have and the refined disposition. Allah bless them. Allah bless them now and forever. And we got a powerful, powerful team indeed. And as you know, Ahmad, you know, on a Sunday morning, your 20 million fans that are listening to Marcus Sahaba this morning all over the world. Remember, they even get your podcast. They're telling Ahmad, what is the latest on the kafan dafan? Tell them, Ahmad.
Alhamdulillah, Shafat, we have now sent a letter to the Justice Department as well as the Department of Health, and we have did a proper motivation to the various government departments to say we have now mastered what we want to bring into South Africa to extradite our post-mortem here in the country, as well as saving the Department of Justice as well as the Department of Health in terms of expediting all the post-mortem quick as possible. And you're not going to wait for your post-mortem report 3 to 6 months in some cases, waiting for DNA from Pretoria. This will all expedite our post-mortems. It will, in other words, you don't have to wait like the 3 to 4 hours. In some cases, they will tell you only they can do it the next day. In this case, where we will have our own X-ray machine that will be able to do it. So now the ball is in the court of the with the Justice Department, Department of Health. They need to come back to us and say, right, which is the best way and which is the model will suit this country in terms of the Justice Department. Because, Shafat, we must understand there's three entities in this whole episode. One is the Department of Justice who deploys all the forensic doctors. That's one. The second aspect is the Department of Health who assists us with the scribe and the manpower and the picking up of bodies from government mortuaries and from murder scenes. And the last aspect is the public works where the government, that is the buildings that which we use, the Department of Justice and the Department of Health uses. So these three departments, we have now written to them to say, now, we are ready. This is it. We have did our homework. We have did our research. We have did the due diligence. We have been to the UK. We've seen in the UK how the system works and how they do post-mortem without opening the body. And if it can be worked internationally, why it cannot be worked in South Africa? And this is where now we are motivating it to the government to say, right, come on board. We will first start with a model machine in KZN and then roll it out to the 9 provinces in the next year and a half, 2 years, inshallah.
Yeah, Ahmad, I'm looking at a message on the screen here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan, Councillor Ahmad Parak, and Mufti A.K. Hussein of Marcus Sahaba. Please, Councillor Ahmad Parak, this country has become a big, big, big place where there is a crime, there is disrespect, there's alcoholism, there's looting, there's stealing, and a bunch of chores are everywhere. I want to know, are bodies respected in the morgues and at all these other institutes where they are? Because I don't expect these people to show adab to other people, and what they do to the dead, Allah forbid. I recall reading a lot of stories when I was a young man about Farooq Khan writing about what people used to do to the dead bodies and all. Allah forbid. I hope it's not happening. What's the report on that, Ahmed? Ahmed, that's a very good observation. What's your thought?
It's a very good observation. In fact, alhamdulillah, in 2001, when Islamic Burial Council came into power, actually in 1998, we got our first constitution and we got regularized Islamic Burial Council in 2001. At that time, that's when where all the problem was. Yes, I was the orchestrator or the kingpin behind giving the information to the late Farooq Khan from Daily News, and he was my key man in putting an article specially for me. The only thing I regretted up to today, and you know what I regret the most, the man was prepared to do a book for me, and unfortunately, time was against me, and that book did not, he didn't have the opportunity to write that book for me. But other than that, Shafat, that man, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus, whenever he needed to know, if there was a murder anywhere in the province, I was his first person that he would phone and say, Ahmed, what happened here? How many people were involved? What time the body came in at the mortuary? What was the actual cause of death? All that information was given by me, and he always wrote up a good article and always mentioned my name there, that, you know, Islamic Burial Council, Ahmed Parag, put this whole matter to rest, and the body was given quick as possible to the family and the deceased was buried. So the brother's question is, from that time when I came into power in 1998, we made one thing very, very clear to the entire country in terms of how to respect Muslim bodies. And in fact, at that time, they were not even covering female bodies or anything like that. And today, Shafat, alhamdulillah, with help of Allah, and what we have did from 1998 to now, they respect our body. In most cases, they don't even put it in the fridge because our bodies get the post-mortem gets done very, very quickly. They leave it on the tray. As soon as the doctor comes, he can start with the body and get the post-mortem done quick as possible. If there is the cut-off time where the body had to come after 6 or the cut-off time is like about 5:30, then the body has to go into the fridge. Even in that case, too, we got special arrangement because the body will have to be done first thing in the morning. They don't even have to put it in the fridge unless, you know, when you got like 53 degrees or 48 degrees, then only they will then use their discretion and put it in the body and pull it out in the fridges and then pull it out early in the morning for the post-mortem to be done. But alhamdulillah, when the respect is concerned, that brother, anybody, I can put my head on a guillotine that how they treat our body with dignity and respect. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us in government. How we have trained them and how they have to nurture our bodies and what they do. They'll even put it in the body bag and everything is done to the T. That I can vouch for it because I do these visits on a regular basis in not only our bodies, even the non-Muslim bodies too. They treat it with a dignified way how to treat the corpse actually.
This message says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parag. You and Chef definitely resonate powerfully on radio, bringing us brilliant information. Allah keep you all. Allah bless you all. And may you all be the legends that you all are. Jazakallah, brother. He says, I want to know from Ahmed Parag. I want to work out a small scenario for him. Say, for instance, if I'm driving in the car and one of the family members passes on, must I take the body straight to a hospital? Or must I take it straight to the ghusl khana? What must I do in that circumstances? Because many in our ghabraat mode may do the wrong thing and the body may go for autopsy and so forth. Please advise accordingly. Another powerful question coming there, Ahmed.
Shafat, if you're in a private road now, you're not in your own house, in your own property. If you're driving from Durban to from Durban Central to say Pietermaritzburg, and Allah forbids anything happens, and he had a massive heart attack, and a person, you know, there's no pulse or anything, you take him immediately to the nearest hospital. When you get to the hospital, they will run out from the trauma unit. The doctor will come out, the nurses, they'll try and put him quickly as possible in a tray and wheel him to the trauma unit. But at that time, the doctor will assess. They will say DOA means dead on arrival. So there's nothing much can be done. In that case, there will be a post-mortem. But if he passed away in his own driveway, in his own property, and if they rushed him inside the house and they put him on the bed and they called a doctor and the doctor came and seen him, yes, and he had a history of cardiac failure, or he had kidney problems, or he had any other illness, or he had cancer, or any brain tumor, or anything that he was going on treatment for, or he was getting chemotherapy, then the doctor will then find it as natural causes because he's got a history of the sickness over the years or over the months. If he treated him, he can sign it as natural causes. But now you're in government road now. Now you're out of your boundary from your house and you're traveling out. Now you have to go to the nearest police station. No doctor will be able to sign it. Even your own family doctor, even your own brother is a doctor, he won't be able to sign it off because he doesn't know what was the actual cause of death. In a case like that, what you do then, take it to the hospital. The doctors will have a look at it. Then they will say DOA. They'll put their dead on arrival. Then you'll have to phone the South African Police Department. They'll open a case. They'll open an inquest docket, we call. And then they will phone the government mortuary, Department of Health. And they will come and pick that body and take it to the nearest mortuary. If he's in Durban and surrounding, if he's Durban, it'll go to Phoenix. Then other than that, from Pinetown, it'll go to Kloof, that area, it'll go to Pinetown mortuary. But then you can also do another thing. You speak to your family doctor and get all the paperwork from a family doctor and get an affidavit from your family doctor to say, I am treating Khan for the last 2-3 years. And he's been on a regular visit by me. I've given him for cardiac failure, whatever medication. He writes the report, and then he sends that report to the mortuary. When the doctor, the pathologist has a look at that history, then they can always view the body. They won't open the body. In other words, they won't do a post-mortem. Based on the family doctor's recommendation that he has treated him over the last couple of years, couple of months, and these are the medications that he was giving him. He is a cardiac patient of mine for so long, whatever it is, then they can always give him the body without even opening the body based on the family doctor's recommendation.
Now, Ahmad, the question begs, Allah forbid, if there's someone deliberately do not follow these protocols and just does it their way, like, you know, bring it, get the body and, you know, make a plan. And no one knows about it, but, you know they made a plan. But if maybe a 2 or 3 years later, there is an investigation and found out, no, this was, they didn't do the right protocols. What happens then, Ahmad?
Then what they will do in a case like that, once the inquest docket is open, they can exhume the body. I'll give you one scenario. There was one lady working for a big corporate company. I don't want to mention the name of the company. A big, massive corporate. And they got maybe 2,000 chain stores in the country. And she was one of the blue-eye PA for the CEO. 38 years old, Shafat. She passed away. Then the doctor, the family doctor, signed it as natural causes to say, you know, I have the husband knows the doctor very well, and she's only 38 years old, and the doctor signed it as natural causes. They buried the person. They did the ghusl, they did everything, buried Shafat not even 4 days later. The CEO went to the father of the deceased and said, you know what? This lady worked for me for the last 10 odd years. She was my PA. I know more about her than you know as a father. And you know, she's there like 7 days, 6 days a week with me. And she runs my whole diary and everything. So obviously, they, you know, he had liking for her, or and she used to do the work, and an honest person. So he went to the father and said, you know what, I suspect some foul play here. Then they went and opened an inquest docket to say, you know what, certain time this deceased passed away, a doctor signed that has natural causes. We're not happy that she passed away with naturally. We need a postmortem to be done. Shafat, you won't believe it. We had to exhume that body. Then they go to court. They go to court and they bring an exhumation order. The court granted. The magistrate grants that. They came to Islamic Burial Council. Mr. Parak, you're the head of the Islamic Burial Council. I said, yes, there's a subpoena here that we want to exhume body, deceased name, cemetery, when it was buried. We want to exhume. So we had no option. When you bring a court order, now you can't go. If it's an order, you have to, because then they'll charge me for contempt. And I first refused. I said, Islamically, we don't allow that. He said, sorry, my brother, there's nothing you can do. There's a court order here. If you don't allow me, then you know what? We'll charge you for contempt and we'll still exhume the body. They came in, then they made special arrangement. We gave them a time, date. We put our team together. We put parda there. We closed it up. And after a couple of days, after 7 days, the body was exhumed, went to the mortuary. They did a full post-mortem. They brought a private pathologist. In a private pathologist, Shafat, you pay nothing less than 25 to 30,000 a day. They brought a private pathologist as well. They did the post-mortem. But alhamdulillah, they didn't find anything because it was a cardiac failure. So, and that was the end of the thing. But the inconvenience and the time and all what went through the family, the trauma and all that. But you can see now, just illustrated to our listeners that what happens if you don't do it the correct way. And this is the question that that our brother asked. And this is, I've just given you a small scenario of actually what happened. And I was party to it, and I can vouch exactly when, who's the deceased, everything. Shafat.
Bless you for that, Ahmad. You know, really graphic indeed, and you had us all spellbound. So it was the boss that wanted the you know, the body exhumed and checked out and all, because he had a different type of feeling. So he even paid for the for the autopsy, you know, the person that did the autopsy, Ahmad.
Yeah, 100%. He paid for every cost, all the costs, for because even for exhumation costs, you know, to redig that grave, they pay us. So, you know, because now we're redigging that thing. They paid Islamic Burial Council all that cost. In fact, the 25 to 30,000 private pathologist charged, he paid all the cost and everything, Shafat.
You know, Ahmad, something that people really forget are the grave diggers. I mean, they're such hard workers, and you know, besides being the grave diggers of in the Kabristan, they're also the one that keep the Kabristan clean and, you know, clean and neat and tidy. Sometimes you go midday to a Kabristan, you'll find them, you know, cleaning. You know, they got the vest on and they have the Bermudas on, working very hard. You know, are we giving them the right respect? And do we take good care of them? And perhaps some of the, you know, you don't have to. Salary-wise, what are they earning, Ahmad?
Shafat, alhamdulillah, you know, the Islamic Burial Council team, you know, two teams. One is based in Chatsworth, one is based in Durban Central. We got two buckies and they've got about eight staff. Alhamdulillah, there's two supervisors as well as every single worker is actually registered. They get a good remuneration for the efforts. And leaving alone what they get on a Friday, eat both the Eid and all the chapati, they make good money. And the people, the community really look after them. And, you know, people that go regularly to the cemetery, they give them on a regular basis, you know, whenever they go, on a, especially on a Juma to go to the Kabristan and all that, they get good remuneration and they get good sponsorship as well as hadiah they get on a weekly basis. And then I know one person recently passed away in our masjid. Every single morning Shafat, he comes and give Mawzim 100 7 days a week. He passed away. His son has taken that over and he still does it up today, Shafat. So Alhamdulillah, we got generous people in our community and they really look after these people that who do the work, Shafat. You know, I was doing, you know, in the Ramzan time, you know, I'm involved on the ground in our masjid. And one lady came up to me and was giving me 100 rand as hadiah. So I told him, Allah bless me, but give it to my car guard guy. Yeah. I just oversee to everybody in this whole masjid and all that. He thought I was one of them too. And so I said, Jazakallah, and then I gave it to one of our staff there. I said, you know, this is hadiah from so and so.
Oh, Ahmad, you make me, you know, you tickle my mind also. I remember your late father, our Parik Chacha, La Filiz Kabarud Noor, and also he used to take good care of our Mawzin. You remember Ibrahim? And the same with my mother, you know, I mean, his first plane ticket to Malawi, she bought and sent him to Malawi. I remember her doing that. And he told me, just when he was leaving for Malawi, he said, you know, my first plane ticket to Malawi at that time in the 70s, your mother bought it. I said, I never knew about it, but he reminded me. But even, you know, you look at your dad, I used to catch him. I was a lighty, but I should catch him every Friday. He had a stipend for, you know, Mawzin Ibrahim, Ahmad.
Yeah, no, my dad has got one policy yet. Anybody that is not only the Mawzin, if a guy opened the door for him too, he must give him hadiah. That is, it was policy. And if he came home and it was time for to have lunch, whoever was there, you must eat. And so that was one of the policy. If it's supper time, you can't leave. You cannot come and meet and greet. You must have supper and go. That was one of the policies that he had, Shafat.
You know, Ahmad, yesterday the barakah flowed. And, you know, the elders always had that habit of anyone. I mean, my mother instructed me that if there's any, you know, outsiders in the mosque, please invite them home because Friday, you know, like armed hours here. And I used to bring in virtually half the muazzin at the head of the table and any guests that came through, I mean, you know, Dawah organization workers and all that, they had to eat here. And Ahmad, you know, yesteryear, the barakah flowed. Today, people look out of the window. If there's a guest coming, say, Bap, Re, Bap, what are we going to do now? No, let's go get a bunny chow or a chicken tikka. Not like how, you know, mothers and fathers cooked the homemade meal and fed them, Ahmad.
See, the thing is, Shafat, today we don't cook at home. That's where the barakah is gone. Previously, you know, on a Sunday or a Friday, or, you know, my late father's house was like a langar, you can say. You know, people come from, like, on a Sunday, anything from 10 o'clock right to 6, 7 in the evening, you people are coming in and out, you know. That's how it is. And Shafat, because we were cooking, you know, we didn't buy any takeaway and all that. That's where the barakah has gone away from our home because we have gone so lazy. I'm not saying the ladies have got lazy or whatever. There's more takeout and everything. Today you order, you get everything. Today they don't even cook on a week-to-week basis or anything. Everything is order. Your lunch, supper is already ordered. They just deliver. You just put it in the microwave and it's on the table. So there's, you know, virtually very little cooking has been done. But, you know, I believe in one thing, Shafat. What you cook at home is that's where the barakah is. You know, any function too. I had a walima recently about 2 months ago in Stanga, my niece's son. I had to get him married and we had a walima for about 300 people. I cooked in the yard. Up till today, I do it. I stand with the cook and I do it. And Shafat, you won't believe it. Even another 100 or 150 people came away there. They could have ate and I still should have given you takeout as takeaway as well. That's how much barakah you get when you do it personally and you supervise it together and you do it with an open, clean heart. The barakah you get, plenty of barakah in that shafa.
You know, Ahmad, you really talk my language, and I think you and I have so much in common because on Eid day, I took it up on myself to make a fish biryani, and the sisters were here, and Asami, I did the marinade and all that. But you know, you spoke about that pad course. Lucky, I tell you, this is part of the tradition of most Muslim families. If they eat and they're enjoying your meal, you say, hey, and they want it, Ahmad. They want it. They want pad course. And you have Allah, and Allah gives us a barakah to have that extra pad course. And you know what? The greatest joy for any Muslim family or even for the cook is when someone tells him, listen, this is tasty, man. I want my son to eat it, or can I, my husband, have this, or so certain family member, or maybe I can have it for breakfast and so forth. That is a compliment, and that is, as Ahmad says, if you cook with a clean, big, open heart, Allah gives you from undreamed sources. Time for us to go for the news, and inshallah, who's there? Yeah, it's our very own news, Suleiman Isuf, and then we will continue after.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, listening to the news, Ahmad, for me, the Congress party seems like, hey, they're going to shake Narendra. They're going to Karnataka. Hey, they are doing it there. You know the language there, Ahmad? Yankasu mele. I don't know if you understand that language, but I know one word or two lines from them. How are you, Yankasu mele? Yes, Ahmad, what caught your eye when... Suleiman Isuf was reading the news, Ahmad?
Shafat, I didn't get the first one, but I did get the, because I was cut off and Lucky reconnected me. The Russian war between the Ukraine, now you can see we in a dilemma as well. In fact, I think the U.S. going to put tension on South Africa as well in terms of supplying Russia with the artillery and war equipment and everything from South Africa, that ship that left from Cape Town. So, this is another issue that is going to be a massive issue. It's going to come and bite us sooner or later. So that's one of the issue. Then, this war between Russia and Ukraine, and you can say from both sides, and I see the UK is sponsoring the Ukraine army and the government with a lot of equipment from the UK now and America as well. So this thing here, by all these other countries, instead of coming and sitting around a table and sorting this problem out, these other countries are actually supporting Ukraine. And so this is not going to stop, because you got the Ukraine on the one side, and then you got Russia, India, and China on the other side. So this thing can lead to a massive confrontation between all these other parties. In fact, I think the time has come now. They need to sit down and sort this problem out once and for all, because in fact, the lives are going to be lost in the near future, because this thing is carrying for the last 6 months or just over 6 months now. And all these other countries, these other countries depend on selling the equipment to the Ukrainian government and all that. And you got India is supporting Russia and China is supporting Russia. So, things are getting hot, is getting hot at the moment. So, in fact, somebody need to step in and put this act together, and maybe they can put a peace treaty together and put it together and make sure this thing stops, because it's escalating to a big war.
You know, Ahmad, the question to pose is, why is the DA obsessed in supporting Ukraine? Obsessive. You can't talk anything about Russia. Then they see like red flag. It's like a bull came into the arena. Why, Ahmad? Why?
Shabbat, I don't have to tell you that. You must know who are the people behind the. If you see the top Raki in the DA, you'll see who they are, and these are the ones that always supported all. They won't support Russia. They won't support China. They will always support countries like the Ukraine and long as you are associated with the EU, then only you get support. what is happening. They're jumping so much on this Ukraine and Russia issue. The whole world is making such a hoo-ha. What is happening in Palestine? What is happening in Sudan? What is happening in Afghanistan, in Iraq? What happened? Nobody is talking about that. Yeah, the man wants to come for the BRICS conference here in South Africa. They said, no, he must be arrested. Why they don't arrest the people that has taken millions of people's lives, so women and children in various countries? Why they don't, the United Nations don't get a warrant of arrest for those people as well? So I can't understand. You can see the playing fields are not leveled yet. There will be always, this issue will always come out because, you know, they got favoritism. In the between you and I, the United Nations, I got no faith in them because they are all one side. That is the problem we face with. But if you know somebody need to talk to them, you can see what happened in Palestine, what happened in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Millions of people lost their lives, but nothing. Nobody is jumping. Yeah, two countries are fighting. They're making a massive hoo-ha about it. They want to put sanction on countries who are supporting Russia and all. Why?
I'm laughing also that, South Africa, you can see what a powerful defense force we have. They say even the Swaziland will give us a go. Yeah, that's what some people are saying. But we're supplying arms to Russia. I mean, Russia is a superpower. It manufactures arms and ammunition. What are we supplying? Are we sending them the spears? Or the shield of the Zulus, or what are we doing? What type of arms are we giving there? Is America, making a big fool of itself, Ahmed?
No, Shafat, you must understand, Denzel is a massive company that makes the military
artillery.
And all. Yeah, so Denzel is a big company, and then it's always been. It could be not doing it in a massive scale. But they have built up over the years. There must be stock for them to come and take from here. Otherwise, they won't, because, here in South Africa, there's nothing happening. And everything is getting sold left, right, and center. Maybe Russia did a deal. Whatever was here, they even cleaned it up at a price. So, something must be triggered here, because if they can take it out and sell it, they'll sell it. This is what happens here.
Absolutely, Ahmed. And then we noticed that the IFP, well, they're making a big noise. They said that the eThekwini should be put under administration. What's the latest, Ahmed?
Shafat, the top Raki of ANC is here. In fact, they have appointed an ex-SD director general from the office of the president's office to come and oversee to the province, not only eThekwini, but personally speaking, eThekwini should be put into administration, not now, about a year ago. That's how bad it is at the moment. And then I went to a meeting on Thursday, community service meeting, and I, Shafat, we only use 25% of our allocation to fix things for service delivery. We still got 75%. So we are asking the chairperson of the community service committee, why is it is not spent? Because these guys are here, the management from Parks and Gardens, yes, sanitation, everybody is here. We are asking them answer. They said, our hands were tied. It has to go by the city manager, and he sanctions it and all that. I said, that is the reason why we cannot get service delivery, because the monies are there. You are not spending it. We want service delivery. And somewhere along the line, it's getting eaten up in some other ways or anything. And then you say, there's no money. But yet, we got the monies were allocated in the last budget from the 22-23 allocation. The money is there. Only 25% is used. What the 75%? We are saying to fix the roads up, the potholes. We are saying fix the sewage system up. We're telling them put the pump. We're telling them the grass cutting. All that is not getting done. But why, when the monies are there, you like what we had, 122 million for the housing was taken away back from national government. because we haven't used it. So, and then we had 320 for something else that was allocated for the city part in grant, was taken away by national government because we missed the deadline. We didn't do anything. So half a million was already gone back to national government. And yeah, we got money to fix things here in the city, but the money hasn't been used up. So I posed in that meeting, the management, this is, you don't blame anybody. The people that are running these departments, from the city manager to the speaker to Department of Parks, all the departments, they should get somebody who can run the system. They know monies are there. This thing, if you want to build a house, you got, your budget is 2 million rand. You bring a builder, you bring the architect, you bring the quantity surveyor, you do the feasibility, you do the due diligence, how much is going to cost you, this is your budget. They work accordingly. So there's a budget was there, everything, but they still haven't done anything about it. So that's what I had posed. Now I'm bringing a special motion for the meeting on the 31st of May. I'm going to bring it in the full council. We want to know why was that money not spent, and yet we need service delivery.
No, Ahmed, you make a lot of points, but you know, the bottom line is that people are saying, when you look at Itikweni, it is still being run by Jay-Z and Sandile Gomez. He said, you can stand and shout from the mountains of Drakensberg, but these two are still ruling, and they will rule KZN for years to come. Your thoughts on that, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, this fraction thing between the ANC, you've got the Gumeda party on the one side where she's already been charged. That matter is before court at the moment. Then you got the RM Ramaphosa issue here. So, you know, the problem is you have this friction. So, you know, each party wants to play their own trump cards here. And that's where, because of their infighting, their problem, and the only thing they have done now, they went into bed. If you read this morning's Sunday Tribune too, you will see how they did a pact with the EFF. Now, that is the biggest savior for them at the moment, because in all the municipal metros, as well as the municipal councils, they're getting the support, because now they don't even need the bloc anymore. The bloc is all the small parties. You see what they did? They used the bloc to get what they want, and they threw them in the wayside. Now the bloc is nothing. So that's why I say to anybody, don't join the bloc and all that. You join the bloc, then eventually they just use you and dump you. And this is what the ANC has done to the bloc. And now what they did to the deputy mayor, that's what the same thing they do to everybody else. They use you and they just dump you. This is politics and this is state. They say, no, we can't help you. I'm sorry, we don't need the bloc anymore. We got EFF support, and the ANC will be able to rule this province as well as the city. That's what they're doing.
This message from Ghulam says, Ahmed Bhai, Jazakallah Khair, you really walking the talk. And Jazakallah, I see all the sewage pipes are all open. No more stink in my area. You did a great job. How much did it cost them to unblock all the sewage system? Was it just coming and cleaning the pipes, or are they bluffing us again? They'll have to put new pipes. Please advise. How do you respond to Ghulam Bhai there, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, when we put the pressure on to them, and we in court already in that matter for all the sewage issue, what they're doing is they're bringing honeysuckers, they're cleaning those pipes. But the pipes are very, very old. They have to be replaced sooner or later. Like I'm just giving you another scenario. When Thabo Mbeki was in government, he was the president, he made it when Eskom told him that we need more new power plants to be built quick as possible in the next 5 years, put new plants. We need four brand making new plants to be put in, because that we won't be able to carry it through any longer. They just ignored it. And this is the same thing happening now. What we've done at the moment, the pressure, I have put in so much of pressure, as well as the court matter is before the High Court at the moment for this sewage, where this raw sewage is still going into our rivers and the sea. That matter is before court. The pressure we're putting, what they're doing is they're actually hired additional honeysuckers. They're cleaning those pipes up and to open it up quick as possible, so that the water starts flowing into the reservoirs for the sewage, where the sewage tanks are, instead of going to the rivers and the sea, because that overflow, that is causing the problem that is going into the rivers.
This message says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Paruk, Brother Shafaz Khan. You guys make it so easy for us. So when I was a lighty, I used to buy the newspapers to read from cover to cover. Now I only tune in to Consciously Connected on a Sunday. You give it to us so beautifully. Allah bless you for that. My question for Councillor Ahmad Paruk is, tell me, why is it that the Al-Jamaa Party is making headlines all over the country, but it is only 0.001% of the political scenario? How do you respond to our brother there?
Shafad, that Al-Jamaa Party in Gauteng, this is the second mayor they have got there in Gauteng. Now they have also, they are in a block. They have now went to the ANC. The ANC said, no, Al-Jamaa, we'll put one of your members there. Now they used him as a window dresser and put him there because they still run it. So in other words, he's a puppet there. I'm putting somebody there, but I still call the shots. Like how you said earlier, Gumeda is still running the show with Zuma. It's the same thing. So the ANC from the behind the scenes, they're still running it. They put this man there. They say, now we will tell you exactly what you pass, what you don't do. If the heat comes, you come to us. We will tell you exactly. This is what they actually did. So they sold us there as well. Now, instead of putting somebody who we had a person from Action SA, Fanzi. Fanzi was the right person to lead that city and do a turnaround. But in the end, again, I'm saying, DA pulled out of it. DA is the party. If they don't get their way, they walk away from it. They want to make sure they put one of their person there, but not realizing the man has got the experience, have got all the knowledge to do a turnaround. But no, if you don't put their person, tough luck. This is how this thing works with the DA. They want to call the shot in everything, even in the Tigwini municipality. That's what they wanted in the beginning when we told them, let's put a pack together and we bring our people in. We'll give you one seat here, one seat there. We take all the top positions. So each one will run the city properly, but they didn't come to the party. So what happens today? The ANC is running everything again.
Ah, beautiful there, Ahmad. Assalamu alaikum, Shafaat and Councillor Paruk. Please do something for the people. Speak nicely to government and tell them they owe it to South Africa and its awesome people to sort ESCOM. And since they put certain areas on rotational supply, electricity and load shed us, they are obliged to give good South African citizens rotational electricity accounts. Hashtag please respond. Councillor of Action SA, wassalam. On a rotational supply, South Coast. Okay, this is wassalam. Okay, they are from the rotational supply, South Coast, addressing you, Ahmad. How you respond to them?
Shafat, far as that is concerned, there's the rotation issue is we fortunate little bit in KZN and here, because we managed to get another 3,000 megawatts from a neighboring country that is assisting us. So they. Pressure is a little bit less than compared to other provinces. But the pressure is still on because from yesterday, from 3, it can step up to 6. Now we're coming more towards winter. It could go to up to 10 or 12. Then we got a major problem. So we have a major problem at the moment. This rotation can only work when you have got enough in your grid. But the beauty part is, Shafat, in the last 3 months, in the last 90 days, 3.6 billion rand worth of solar has come into South Africa. So most companies, most householders are becoming self-sufficient. And some of them have already come out of the from Itigwini municipality. They said, you know what, do me a favor, come and take your meter, come and take your cable, do whatever you want. We are concerned, our factories are running, we got our own power, we're generating our own power, and we're not losing anything at the moment. And water too, they told them, do us a favor. You want to cut us off from your municipal water? Thank you very much. The only thing we will use pay you for is the ROSU and the picking up the bins and DSW issues. That's the only thing. The rest of it, they're becoming self-sufficient. Take my apartment. I have got water here, Shafat. I got clean, good water that you can drink from the tap direct. That's how clean, because I took it to three different labs. I did, you know, when I do something, Shafat, when I do something, I make sure it is 100%, and I took it to three different labs, and they test that water. It is pure, pure water. And Shafat, you drink it, and you'll say, you know what? You know, Allah has blessed us with this water. And if you go to Riverside, and Riverside got its own purification, and they're doing bottling themselves in Riverside Masjid. And Shafat, you drink their water. I don't know if you have, whenever you are around, just tell Mufti Sahab there, Ghulam Sufi, to give you some of his water. Shafat, drink that water. It is clear, and so beautiful. And the taste of that water, you won't find it anywhere in the country, Shafat. That's how beautiful. Allah has blessed them too. Like the water I'm getting here in my apartment, 100% water, no problem. You can drink direct from the tap to your glass into your mouth, no problem you will have. Same thing you have to do now. You got the water issue sorted out with borehole. Get a good reputable company who can supply you with the solar, put it on your roof. That too, they're coming and stealing. Be careful how you're putting it on. That is interlocking. Make sure that, because each panel costs about anything from 3 to 5,000 rand. Each panel, the good panels. So you know, you're going to lose money if one panel is being stolen from your roof. So that is another issue. You've got to put cameras and everything so that nobody come and take your panels away. Get self-sufficient. And I think we are saying by 2025, we'll have more than enough power, because the way that things are happening at the moment, if 3.6 billion rand worth of solar panels were delivered in the last 90 days, and the people are starting to put left, right, and center, most of the companies are going self-sufficient on with solar. They're not even using the municipal electricity anymore.
Yeah, but looking at this message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Bhai, and Bhai Shafat. We are living here in a duplex. But are we running with a prepaid electricity? I was reading an article this morning in the newspaper which says a prepaid electricity crisis. There might be more than 70 million meters that will stop working next year. This will not only be in South Africa, but the whole world. What are we going to do, Ahmed? Please address immediately with council. Ahmed?
We in council actually introducing prepaid at the moment. So it's not going to affect us so much in that sense, because we got a different system of working. Because what we want to take away the responsibility, people are coming to Martin West and paying it through the system and all. Yeah, you just go and buy the card and you load it up. You know your consumption, how much you need for the month. You keep the card and you keep filling it up, this thing. And we are encouraging it at the moment. I'm not sure how I read through that article this morning too, but every country has got its different grid system, different way of power generation. So therefore, it is going to be difficult. But we are introducing more and more prepaid. Even the council, we're doing the same thing. So it makes it easier instead of people are coming to the Martin West and there's a query, it's overcharged and all. Yeah, there's no overcharge or anything. What you use, that's what you use, and you just feed it accordingly.
Mustafa says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. You know me, I'm also an old beach boy, and people always say I take Tupperware to functions. He says, I was told by my cousin from UK, don't invest in solar or solar panels. This is all a gimmick. Everything will come right soon. Please advise, Ahmed. I don't know if my cousin, he's also a big shooter. Ahmed, how do you respond to Mustafa? I don't know if you know him. You reckon he takes Tupperware to the functions?
Shabbat, Mustafa, simple. Yeah, compared to, like when you had COVID, it was like a big gimmick. You had to take injection. You had to now put PPE. You had to get body bag. You had to do mask and all that. That's all, you know, this is like today's Mother's Day. In Islam, every day is Mother's Day. Now, today, Sunday, is Mother's Day. So everybody bought roses, they bought gifts for the mother and all. That you give to your mother every day. Go kiss her in the forehead and give every day to your mother. You can't get any better than that. But they made it Mother's Day, Father's Day. You know, all these things, they create these things. Just it's a money-making scheme. But in our case, the brother in UK, I think he's not misinformed. We have a massive problem with Eskom here, and we know about it. And I mean, government, we know about it. There is a problem. We cannot generate enough power. That is the reason why people are going into solar power and generating. It's not a gimmick. People are doing that, are laughing today because they got power, and some of them who have not invested in that, who haven't got money, they cannot invest in that. The people that who's got money, they invested in that, and then they're smiling today because they have got power. They got boreholes, they got water. So they said, you know what, we're not interested in the government. Go to hell. We have got power, we got water, we self-sufficient. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us.
You know, Ahmad, this Mustafa got my mind running now. He's talking about drinking Tupperware and all that. I mean, who makes your best dalgos for you? Is it Gora Manjara or Soli Manjara? Which one? What's your choice, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, from my father's time, the late Manjara. Now, you might ask, they're not actually Manjara. They're Bimat, you know that, Shafat. They're Bimat, right? Because the old man had greenish eyes, they made him Manjara, right? The old man Manjara from Cathedral Road, he had a business in Cathedral Road. He used to do all his cooking from there. And then from in where we're living in Wentworth, from that time, from 1962-63, he's cooking for my father from Wentworth. And 1970, we moved to Spingo Beach. From then, he's cooking for my father. Then eventually, the late Manjara passed away. Then his son took over Gora Manjara. Gora Manjara been all the time with us. Now Gora Manjara is not well. His son Irshad Manjara is doing our cooking for us for all, especially my family's work and everything. Irshad Manjara normally does it.
Yeah, half of Irshad Manjara, I know him very well. Gora
and
still keeps in touch with me, Ahmad.
Nawaz. At the same token, Nawaz, the late Farooq Manjara, Soli Manjara, Muhammad Manjara from Soli Manjara, all were very close to me. I also give them some functions. I also give them to, you know, some wedding functions and all that because Soli and I are very close because of my father. So, you know, I keep the muhabbat between the full family. And Soli knows when it comes to this thing. He said, if I go to him and I said, you know what, I got a function, I want to do A to Z and all that, Soli will say first, did you go and see my brother about this thing first? Then I'll tell him, no, I saw your brother. Brother said, if you want to do it with Soli, or you want to do it with me, but I can't do it, I'll give it to Irshad Manjara. That's how we still got that muhabbat, and we keep it like that, Shafat, because of my late father, taluk we had with the family.
I tell you, every second week he's sending me Methi Park. Gora makes it, by the way. Ahmad, then he's also sending me Gajar Halwa and this and that. What a wonderful, beautiful man. Ahmad, what a lovely morning in your company. I really enjoyed it. We flowed this morning and the Baraka came through and you were firing on all cylinders. Perhaps your parting words this morning?
Shafat, you know, people are getting panicky with the load shedding, water, government and everything. Best remedy, don't forget Allah. Whatever happens with the will of Allah. And we must have full yakin. Nowhere in the country, nowhere in the world, you will get a better constitution like what we got in South Africa, right of religion, right of culture. Make dua, this will come right. This electricity issue, give it another 2 years from now, it will come right, Shafat. There's nothing to panic. Yes. Next year, 2024, there will be a new government put into place where they will have to work with coalition government. Things will start looking up. You can go anywhere in the world. There is nothing like South Africa. Yeah, you can stay here. You can do much. You can make money here. You got deen here. You got masjid here. You got ulums here. You got everything here. This country got the country's constitution is embossed with the right of religion, right of culture. You can do what you want to do. Go to UK, go to America, go anywhere else, then you will see for yourself. They, when they're burying you, they're with a coffin. You have to put the body in a coffin and then they're burying you and all that. Yes, nothing. You want to do it, you want to perform Eid Namaz in the ground, you can do that. You got a big mayat, you need the metro police to come and close up the road for you, they will come and do that. Things can happen here. We must have full yakin. And lastly, you must put your, go and register yourself as a voter. For you to have a say and to phone me and say, you know what, fight for me on this, we don't have light, we've got potholes and everything. But register yourself. It will make a big difference to fight the government, the new government that which is going to be coming, because now you have got a right that you have registered for a party and you're going to bring the right people who will do the job. It will be better for you, for your, especially for your children and your grandchildren, Shafat.
Beautiful, Ahmad, and Allah bless you. Allah keep you. Great morning in your company. You have a mashallah day ahead. Inshallah, we'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan
marhaba. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.